I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes. Glad you could join us this week. At least we've got a show this week. That's an improvement. Last week, we had no show because there was no tech news that I found interesting. You see, the key to this show is for me to be interested. If I'm interested, then I make it interesting talking to you. Otherwise, I just kind of go, which is not good for a show. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill and the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, of which I am an internet broadcaster, since I am broadcasting here from my studio in good old High Point, North Carolina. Yes. So, good stuff that we looked at this week on the old blog. The blog, of course, is Dr. Bill, drbill.tv. Now, the TV extension is an interesting extension. It's TV for Tuvalu, which is an island in the Pacific. But that, of course, is not the reason that I use it, because I'm not in the Pacific, nor am I on an island. So I'm not broadcasting from Tuvalu, but TV, coincidentally, is the abbreviation for television. TV. So drbill.tv just seemed good. Descriptive. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people use the TV extension, you know, for video netcast. For instance, Leo Laporte uses twit.tv. Twit, of course, for This Week in Tech. He has a whole Twit network and a Twit army. An army of Twits. Sounds scary. Just saying. Anyway, I have no army. Just little old me. And those that watch, I don't have a nickname for you. Just those guys, you know? Anyway, hopefully you caught the Hitchhiker's reference. Yes. Alrighty, we're looking at the tech news this week that is on the aforementioned blog, drbill.tv, and we start with the Chromebook 11, which is being produced and or designed by Hewlett-Packard. Google has announced a new cool-looking entry into the Google Chromebook world, I say in this posting of an article. Now, the article is actually from Engadget, and it talks about the laptop in question here, the Chromebook. It says, according to the article, it is sleek and attractive, especially considering the ultra-accessible price. At 2.3 pounds, 1.04 kilograms, the machine feels ridiculously light in the hand, although the magnesium frame also lends some sturdiness. HP's notebook, we must say, really reminds us of Apple's white MacBook from several years back, thanks to the softly rounded edges and the white glossy finish. Now, it goes on to talk about the fact that the design is completely screw-free, leaving the lid and back lid and back bare. It also is void of vents and fans, and has the Samsung Exynos 5250 processor under the hood, so things won't get too toasty. That processor is designed to run very cool. The processing unit is accompanied by 2 gig of RAM and a 16 gig SSD, solid state drive, and it is the sole storage option. As for Wi-Fi, we're looking at dual band 802.11 A, B, G, and N with Bluetooth 4.0. And a rep said that a 4G option will be available soon as well. Now, this is, of course, a Chromebook running the Chrome operating system. And it is designed for people who are, how did they put it, in the Google ecosphere. Yes. That means they're basically Googlers. They believe in the whole Google thing. Of course, my buddy at work thinks Google is the devil. And he keeps looking for a 666 somewhere tattooed upon my person. He's quite an odd character, this guy. Anyway, I don't think Google is necessarily the devil. I think maybe they're making a few moves that are devilish. But overall, their motto is, don't be evil. So hopefully they'll stick with that. Know what I'm saying? Anyway. Next item. Next item is that Windows XP expiration is coming. Now, y'all know how this works. Microsoft releases an operating system, and then they put an expiration date on it, sometime far out into the future. And then they release another operating system that supersedes the previous one. And in this case, they released yet another operating system, Windows 8, that superseded Windows 7, that superseded Windows XP. And now they're about to release yet another operating system, Windows 8.1, that will supersede 8, that superseded 7, that superseded XP. Now, XP is the operating system that is predominantly in use throughout most businesses. And a lot of people, even in their homes, still have XP. And I can't exactly blame them. It's a nice, solid operating system. You know what I'm saying? I remember when XP first came out. And I was one of the first people at work that switched over to XP. And kind of was trying it out and pioneering. And I thought, you know, this is not bad. Yeah, I mean, it's Microsoft. Okay, yes. But it's not bad. So, ultimately, everybody switched to XP, and they've been using it ever since, and they haven't really upgraded. There's been service packs and different things, but for the most part, it's just been there. It's been running. Well, the problem with this somewhat arbitrary, but perhaps necessary, decision on Microsoft's part to sunset it, I can't exactly blame Microsoft in this particular instance because they've got to keep patching and filling security holes because you know there's going to be security holes. It's Windows, okay? So they keep patching these holes and people keep finding them. They keep patching them. And yet now they've already moved on to 7 and 8 and now 8.1. So they've got to basically keep a team of people to do nothing but write these security patches. And that gets expensive. And it gets old, and the developers that are working on it are basically working on a legacy operating system that they know is sunsetting. So they already put a date out there and said, by this date, we're not going to support it anymore. And all the businesses went, no, no, you can't do that. And so they extended it out, and they extended it to April of 2014. Now, at the time, that was so far off, everybody went, oh, dude, hey, man, that's we're good, you know? But now, here we are in October of 2013. April of 2014 ain't that far off. And at that point, Windows XP will not only no longer be supported, but there won't be any more security patches for it. So, dude, you'd better get off of XP and get on to at least Windows 7 if you're going to stay in the Windows ecosphere, as we said earlier about Google, the ecosphere, okay? So if you're determined to stay Microsoft, you better move to 7 or 8, okay? Now, I can understand, as a business, your reticence to move to 8. It's too metro-y, you know? But that can be rectified with Classic Shell, as I pointed out before. It's what I do. Gives you back your start button, gives you back your menus, gives you back everything that you miss. So, that's good. So, I use 8, you know, 8.1 is not officially out yet, so I'm not using that. But at least go to 7. You know what I'm saying? Assuming you're going to stay with Windows. Now, if you're going to move to Linux, 2 thumbs up. That's good. Take away market share from Microsoft. Help destroy them. Okay? I know I'm being harsh. Okay? I had somebody at work tell me, you know, Dr. Bill, Microsoft's been pretty good to you through the years. Your whole job revolves around Microsoft technologies. Yeah, okay. Doesn't mean I have to like it. I also support Linux, Red Hat, Ubuntu, SUSE, even little HP UX. Anyway, but would that the world would all go to Linux Mint. Life would be good. In the meantime, Windows is expiring in April. ZDNet says about that. You hear that ticking sound? The one that got noticeably louder this week? That's the sound of the alarm clock set to go off April the 8th of 2014. On that date, Microsoft released the last security updates for Windows XP, whose extended support period will come to a hard stop. That end date is now less than 6 months away, which means you should really stop procrastinating and start planning on how you're going to avoid being part of a relatively small population that will be targeted by every piece of villainous scum in the universe. Their words, not mine. However, I agree. Just saying. So there you go. Plan your migration, okay? Speaking of operating systems, next item. ROS is the robotic operating system. Now, most of you may remember DOS, DOS, as we affectionately called it, which stood for Disk Operating System. That was back when PCs booted off of disks, you know, like floppies. Yes. The good old days when men were men and PCs were paperweights. Oh, well. Anyway, but now there's an ROS, Robotic Operating System. What they're doing is they're coming up with an open source project to create an operating system for robots so that everybody can write to the same operating system for robots, and it's open source. How cool is that? So Wired Magazine says here, the coding world is getting weirder. You'd think that the guy that aspires to be the artisan maestro of world robotic operating systems would have some kind of real job and an official title. But not only does he not have a real job, he doesn't seem to need one. Yes. The masterstroke in Quigley's design is not strictly technical, but social. Okay. Actually, it's strictly technically social because if you strip the support hardware and social code out of the ROS scene and try to write it down with a paper and pencil, there's nothing there. Okay. Anyway, it gave me a chance to post a picture of Robbie the robot. So I'm good with it. Yeah. Whoa. Way to go, Fred. Fred says, moving on for sure. Okay. So it's time for the Geek Software of the Week, as the drum roll, of course, lets us know. Now, let me say, this Geek Software of the Week is awesome. Now, I know I say that about a lot of Geek Software of the Weeks, and some of them are just kind of, eh. This one really is awesome. Now, I need to set this up a little bit. Okay, Fred, just give me a break, okay? I know Fred is thinking, oh boy, here we go, another long story. And I'll keep it short. Just bear with me. Okay. Many, many years ago, many years ago, when I first got into web design, because as the certificate back there says, I am a master server administrator in the web arena. Okay, so I have that certificate that took 4 or 5 different tests to acquire. But at any rate, certified internet webmaster in server administration. And so as I started winding down the happy road of web design, I hate to admit this, Microsoft Front Page. I know, I'm ashamed. But anyway, it was all I had at the time, okay? And it cost real money. And so began my quest to find a free and hopefully open source web design tool. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, well, Dr. Bill, if you were really good, you'd be using Notepad. You geezer, you. Yes, well, I do somewhat now, actually. Actually, I use an editor called PSPad that at least does pretty printing, which is a coding term for making the code look nice and pretty and highlighting different, you know, tags with different colors and things along that line. So it's the programmer's editor PSPad, and I use that, okay? And I look at the raw code. So, okay, I'm not a wimp, all right? But sometimes it's nice to have a WYSIWYG web editor when you just want to throw up a page and design it without having to get mucking around in hyperspace. You know what I'm saying? Or in this case, the hypertext markup language, HTML. Okay, long way for a joke. But anyway, so you want a WYSIWYG web editor. Now, up until this time, I got away from Front Page. I mean, I just couldn't stand it after a while. I just, you know, I didn't want to keep buying new versions and giving Microsoft money. So I said, enough, enough, I'm not going to do it. So I started using one called Composer, which is actually an outgrowth of an open source project called InView, okay, which stood for New View, InView, N-V-U, okay. So that project kind of died, and they took the code and they started Composer with a K. Composer. So I've been using Composer. Well, this week I found well, I started to say open source. I'm not sure it's open source, but it is freeware. And they say they're going to keep it freeware ad infinitum. We'll see. But this is from a company called Trellian. T-R-E-L-L-I-A-N, Trellian. And the product is called WebPage. And it is a WYSIWYG editor with a tab that lets you click and see the code in pretty print, which is pretty cool. And it's actually quite nice. And it's free. Free is good. Okay? So if you're looking for a WYSIWYG web editor for HTML, I know that's a lot, then I present to you Trellian WebPage as our Geek Software of the Week. And it is so good that I have replaced Composer on my PCs with Trellian to do, you know, one-off web design things. Which is, for me, kind of the highest honor one can bestow to replace one of my former, you know, most useful pieces of software with yet another most useful piece of software. Okay? So there you go. All right, next item. The next item here is that the Army, yes, the good old Army of the U.S. of A., salute, is developing an Iron Man armor. I'm kind of jazzed about this. They are taking a page from Tony Stark, good old Tony Stark, and they are designing an Iron Man suit for the military. Now, it says here that they're developing a revolutionary smart armor that would give its troops superhuman strength. And they're calling on the technology industry, government labs, and academia to help build the Iron Man-style suit. Dude. So, who knows? Maybe someone will take this suit, put it on, and become Iron Man, and be a real-life superhero. How cool would that be? Just saying. But also a suit that would protect our troops from random and not-so-random bullets and explosions. I'm also for that. So, pretty cool. Okay, last item of the week. And of course, it's dissing Microsoft. Yes. But not because of just the fact that I want to diss Microsoft. Of course I do, but no, there's a reason. And the reason is Microsoft is lame. And Internet Explorer is very lame. And this week, Internet Explorer, they found a gaping hole in the security that allows people to take over your browser, and through your browser, take over your computer and completely get anything they want off your computer. All because you have Internet Explorer on your computer, which of course if you're using Windows, you do, because it's part of the operating system. So, Microsoft went, oopsie, and they released a patch to fix the Internet Explorer security gap. Okay? It says in the article, Microsoft has released an emergency software fix for Internet Explorer after hackers exploited a security flaw in the browser to attack an unknown number of users. Yes, you may have been attacked and don't even know it. Aptly named Fix It. That's what Microsoft called their patch. Fix It. The software patch is Microsoft's response to learning about extremely limited target attacks that made use of the newly discovered bug. The announcement comes hours after the company has initiated a massive share buyback worth $40 billion, believed to raise its dividend payout to shareholders by 22%. That means nothing to me, but it sounds shady. But that's just me. Anyway, the point is Internet Explorer is ugly and its mother dresses it funny. You heard it here first. So don't use Internet Explorer. That is the key. The key to understanding computers and life and the universe. Don't use Internet Explorer. Use Chrome. Use Firefox. Use Opera. Use any other kind of browser, but not Internet Explorer. It's just not secure. It's not secure on a good day. Much less with this new exploit where they can take over your entire computer and get all your information. So, there you go. In any case, if you're using Windows, you need to download this Fix-It package and fix it. Thus, the name. Good old Microsoft. Just when you thought they couldn't get lamer, they just rise to the occasion and get even lamer. So there you go. Okay. I know I'm taking quite a lot of glee in their misery, but what can you say? You know, they're Microsoft. So, remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.